So if you've been here for a while, you may remember this, but if not, and maybe you're newer here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. For those of you that don't know, yes, I am the worship pastor here, and I've been here on staff for about 6 years, and I love it here. It's been a blessing in the time that I've been here. Now, when I first arrived, our offices were all spread out throughout the building in various locations, and where my office used to be was way in the back, and it was very, very cold. In the back, I should say. Now, during this time, this is like my first or second year after I had gotten hired. And right behind where my office used to be, and actually right behind where I would sit, so like the wall behind me, behind my desk, there was like this empty hallway, okay, that would lead to outside. But there were like two doors. So there was one door from like kind of the main area, and then it would lead into this like empty unfinished hallway, and then there was another door that would lead outside. Now, during the past kind of few months, our church had been moving some furniture around and all of this stuff, and so they had moved some stuff. I can't remember if they were moving furniture in or out, but they used that door, and when they finished, they thought they had closed it, but it wasn't quite fully closed. And so no one actually realized this. So as time goes on, like it's a couple weeks later, it's starting to get a little bit colder. I'm sitting in my office, my heater is going, and just working away on my computer. And then all of a sudden, like I started hearing voices. And I would hear, hello, hello. And so I literally was like, oh, it's probably just like one of the guys. So I would go and open my office door and poke my head out thinking it was Pastor Danny or Pastor Bruce. And then I would very quickly realize like, there's no one there. And I was like, and I think actually a couple times I went over to their offices like up here in the front. And I was like, were you guys calling me or did you pass through the back? And they were like, no. So I was like, okay. And so this kept on going for like a few weeks. And I was literally so confused. It got to the point where I was thinking like, okay, I'm either like going crazy and just like losing it. And like, maybe I need to book an appointment with the doctor because I'm hearing these voices. Or maybe I'm like having a Samuel moment. For those of you that don't know who Samuel was, Samuel in the Bible was a boy who ends up getting dedicated to the temple of God. And so long story short, he lives in the temple with the priest. And in the middle of the night, he hears a voice calling his name. And he thinks it's the priest, but then, you know, this happens a few times and the priest realizes, oh no, that's the voice of God. And it was the voice of God, okay? So I didn't know what I was hearing and I was just so confused. Again, I didn't know if I was just like completely losing it or if I was having a Samuel moment, hearing the voice of the Lord, I don't know. I had no idea what was happening. So this goes on for a few weeks, and Pastor Bruce was doing a walkthrough through the building, as he does frequently. And he got to that area kind of near where my office was, and he started hearing, like, a voice. And he was like, oh, this is weird. He's like, I'm going to check that back hallway, which, I mean, brilliant, because I didn't think of doing that. And so he did, and very quickly he learned when he opened that hallway that somebody had actually moved into the hallway and was camping out. So I was very relieved, in fact, to know that, yes, I was not crazy. I was not losing it. I really was hearing a voice. Yeah. So, and like after, in the moment, it kind of like, it wasn't very funny, but afterwards we kind of laughed about it. And Pastor Bruce was just like, well, didn't you hear any like voices? And I was like, honestly, I did, but I didn't know what was happening. And I was scared that like I was losing it. So I didn't want to say anything because I was trying to process everything. So in all of this, like I had been so confused and I had so much just like inner turmoil because I didn't know what I was hearing. I didn't know who I was hearing. Now, I don't know if you relate to that feeling of just like confusion and turmoil, but sometimes after we make the decision to follow Jesus, we end up wanting to hear from him, right? Like we hear about these Christians or these people that follow Jesus that like they say like, oh yeah, like God told me to do this, or yeah, I was spending time with the Lord and he said this. And sometimes we can desire that for ourselves, right? We want to hear from God. But sometimes, in all honesty, it can be really hard to know when it's God speaking or when it's not. And so that's what I actually want to talk about is, like, how do we actually hear the voice of God? How do we actually know when it's God speaking and when it's not? And how do we, like, actually hear him speak? In 1 Kings 19, we read about a guy named Elijah. You don't have to pull it up yet. Now, Elijah was somebody who frequently heard from the Lord. Elijah was somebody that in the Old Testament, so that's like before Jesus, they would call a prophet. Now, a prophet was really just somebody who would hear from God, and then he would share whatever God spoke to the people. So really, he was kind of like a mouthpiece for the Lord, okay? And so in 1 Kings 19, he goes through this big whole ordeal, this massive showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he defeats them, you know, kills a bunch of them. And then the reigning queen at that time was a woman named Jezebel. She was very much not for the people of God, not a nice person. She gets angry, and so she threatens to kill Elijah. And so Elijah, this man of God, this guy who frequently hears from God, he panics and then basically quite literally just like runs for the hills and camps out in a cave. Now, Elijah honestly isn't in a good place. He's depressed, and truthfully, he's also a bit suicidal, and he just wants to go and complain to God. And so we come to 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 13. You can pull it up now. Thank you. And it's the Lord is actually speaking to Elijah, and he says, "The Lord said, 'Go out, stand on the mountain in front of me. I'm going to pass by.' And as the Lord approached, a very powerful wind tore the mountains apart. It broke up the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire came, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was only a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his coat over his face. He went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'Elijah, what are you doing here?'" See, church, so often when we try to hear from God or we want to hear from God, I think sometimes we just expect him to speak with like fire and lightning and like in some big, miraculous, momentous way. And I'm not saying that God can't. God is God. He can do anything that he wants to do, okay? But more often than not, in my own experience, the voice of God is not some loud, raging thing, but it's just a soft, gentle whisper. It's not angry or abusive, but it's loving. It's quiet. It's tender. And I mean, if you think about it, that's who God is, isn't he? He's not some mean or angry or forceful God, but he's gentle. He's loving. He's kind. Yes, even when he corrects and convicts us. Isaiah 40, verse 11, it's actually talking about Jesus. It says that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He's gentle. In another passage, actually, in John 10, it makes this reference to Jesus being a shepherd, and it calls him the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's gentle. He's loving. And I think one of the most remarkable things when we choose to make the decision to follow Jesus, to allow him to lead us, Scripture also says that we actually get grafted into the family of God, which is wild. That actually means that God, the creator of the universe, the creator of the stars in heaven, and you and I, actually becomes our heavenly Father. 1 John 3, 1 says, "See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And so God, being our good heavenly Father, knows that all of his children are different. How many parents here have more than one kid? Quite a few. how many know between all of your kids, they're all different. They're not going to react to you in the same way or respond to you in the same way or to the same situations as their siblings, right? Well, God knows this too. See, in his goodness and his love for us, he speaks to us in different ways. Now, for some, like Elijah, it could be that still small voice. Now, that still small voice or the gentle whisper, that could be something like, you know, a thought that's just kind of dropped into your heart or your mind that you're like, oh, that wasn't me. Like, where did that come from? For others, God can speak through things that are like a vision or a picture that you end up seeing. And still for others, it can be through dreams. But God speaks to all of his kids in different ways, okay? So you might be thinking like, oh, okay, that's cool. God speaks in different ways, but like, how do I know that it's not just me, right? And in all honesty, I think this is something that we can sometimes struggle with, whether we are a Christian that is just starting our walk with Jesus or whether we've been a Christian for like a really, really long time. To some degree, we've all struggled with this. But there's a few ways that we can know when it's the Lord. So the first way is through Scripture, is actually through asking ourselves, is it in line with Scripture? Meaning, does it actually line up with the words in our Bibles? Does it actually line up with how God calls us to live as Christians? Or does it go against what he says, goes against his word, or does it lead us into sin? Okay? If it goes against Scripture or it leads us into sin, I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably not the voice of God. It's not the Holy Spirit. If, however, you're hearing something or feeling something or sensing something and it's telling you to like go and encourage somebody or pray for them or even take a step of faith in a direction, and again, it doesn't go against Scripture, it doesn't go against how God calls us to live, then yeah, it could be the voice of God that you're hearing, okay? So we can confirm it with Scripture. The other way that God can sometimes confirm what you feel like you've been hearing or feeling or sensing is sometimes through other people. Now, this one is a little bit more rare. It doesn't happen every single time, but sometimes it does. Like, it can happen. And so if you've been praying about something, and I'm a full believer, like you can pray about anything and everything. And God is always wanting to speak and he always has things to say. But I think sometimes we can get so caught up in our own stuff that sometimes we forget to ask him or talk to him. But God is always wanting to speak and we can always pray about anything and everything. So if you've been praying about a situation, whether it's a family situation or, you know, you've been praying for a spouse or you've been praying about that job and if you should stay or not, or even just career, future, what you should do, anything to do with your future, God can always speak, but he can also confirm it through another person. Now, he does this in a couple of ways. So the first is by giving somebody what's called like a word of wisdom. And that is a word that can give you confirmation of things like steps to take or confirmation of kind of what you're feeling. It can speak directly to a situation that you're dealing with. Okay. And then the other one is a word, what's called a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is where somebody, you know, who doesn't know what you're dealing with, they know nothing about your situation or you, but they know specific details or what you're dealing with or whatever, but it's always through the Holy Spirit, okay? Holy Spirit is the literal Spirit of God that comes and lives inside of us when we make that decision to follow Jesus, okay? So Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Numbers 23 verse 18 actually tells us that Holy Spirit will never lie, okay? It's not part of the character of God. It's not who he is. He actually physically cannot lie. It's not part of who he is. And that's actually why the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth. There's only one Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so often a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge go together hand in hand, but not always. And just an example of this kind of happening to me, I remember in 2018, I was getting close to graduating. I was in my final year of Bible college, and there's always this thing, like, in Bible college that you hear about people graduating and then they, like, don't get jobs. And so it's a little bit stressful because you hear about all of this stuff. And I had bills to pay. And so I had been praying about it. And I'm like, Lord, like, I need a full-time job. And my field, like, I had trained to be a worship pastor. And I was like, at the time, there wasn't a lot of, like, full-time worship pastor jobs available. And so I was just, like, praying about it. The college that I attended at the time, we would frequently travel around all throughout Alberta, some other provinces as well, leading worship and doing music and all of that. And it was a lot of fun. And so I remember a few months before I had graduated, I had been praying about this and praying about a job. And I was like so like anxious and just like stressed about it. And I ended up leading a team, and we ended up going to Westlock, and fortunately the church that we went to is no longer there, but we ended up going, and they had guest worship leaders, which was us, and guest preachers that weekend because the lead pastor and his wife were away on holiday, and we didn't get to meet the preachers beforehand. So it was like, okay, this is either going to be like phenomenal and like totally led by Holy Spirit, or this is going to be like train wreck. There was no in between. And so we ended up doing the service and our sound check, and, you know, we're halfway through worship, and we're like, we don't know, like, the preacher hadn't, like, come during our sound check or anything like that, so we were, like, quite stressed. We're like, are we going to have to preach? Like, what is going to happen? But they ended up coming halfway through worship, and so we did the whole service. It actually went really well. Holy Spirit was leading the whole time. It was great. And then at the end of the service, I was like, well, you know, we should probably go introduce ourselves to the speaker, because I'm like, I feel like it would be really rude if we just like leave without at least like saying hi and introducing ourselves. So I took our team over and I was like, okay, like, you know, let's go say hi. And so we did, and I went to shake the preacher's hand and I introduced myself. And as we were talking, he started asking me questions. He was like, oh, so what do you do? And I was like, well, I'm a student and in Bible college. And he asked a couple other questions, and then he kind of stopped and he looked at me and he's like, you know what? He's like, both my wife and I really felt this for you while you were leading worship. But in terms of like a job, like, don't stress about it. Like, God has a place for you, a very specific place. And when it comes, like, don't doubt it. Don't question it. Just know it's from the Lord and just accept it. And so I was like, okay. Yep, sure. And it spoke directly to all of the stress and all of the anxiety that I had been feeling in worrying about a job. And it was amazing because maybe like a month or two later, I had a friend who was pastoring in Edmonton at the time. And he ended up sending me a letter that actually Pastor Danny had sent and was looking for a full-time worship pastor. And my friend was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know anything about this church. He's like, but I really felt like I should just forward this to you. And I didn't want to be like in the moment like, oh yes, this is the place. But I kind of knew in my spirit. It was like, I think this is the place that God has for me. And it just kind of confirmed. And so I went through the process of everything. And I had applied some other places as well, too, but I ended up getting hired here. And so it just kind of confirmed what I had been feeling. So I'm very grateful, yeah. So the word that pastor had given me spoke directly to the situation I was dealing with. And it kind of confirmed what I had been praying about and kind of feeling. So again, words that are given that are from the Lord will usually confirm what you've already been feeling, what you kind of have already been sensing, or they'll speak directly to the situation that you're dealing with. And they will always be in line with Scripture and how God calls us to live, okay? God will never speak anything that contradicts His word or that leads us into sin. And I just want to say as well, because again, we're talking about the future and you can pray about things for your future. If you feel like God has shown you something regarding your future, whatever it is, or somebody has spoken something over you regarding your future, if it really is from the Lord, God will confirm it in some way. And honestly, if it really is from the Lord, eventually it will come to pass. But I do want to say regarding words of the future, like, don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen right away, because that doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't hear from the Lord or that God didn't speak. When God shows things for the future, it, in my experience, it never happens right away. It usually takes time, so be patient. And just an example of this, in Genesis 37, there was a guy named Joseph. And he ended up, when he was 17, he had this dream that he would be a ruler one day and all of his older brothers would bow down to him. And, you know, he tells his siblings this story and it doesn't go well. And so they actually, those same brothers, end up selling him into slavery. And so he goes through this whole horrible ideal. Like, he's taken to a foreign land, to Egypt, and he's working as a slave. He gets wrongly accused, and then he gets thrown into prison, and he's in prison for a while, and then miraculously, like, overnight, God flips his entire situation, and he goes from being in prison to literally being second in command in all of Egypt. And the dream that he had when he was 17 years old did end up coming to pass, but it only came to pass when he was like 40. So I'm not saying it'll take you 40 years to see the dreams of God come true in your life. But again, things concerning the future always take time. So just be patient. And again, if it really is from God, it'll eventually come to pass. The other thing, so if you feel like God has spoken something or somebody's spoken something over you and they were like, this is from God. If it contradicts scripture, I already said this, it's probably not from the Lord. But also sometimes people can give you a word or you can feel like something was from God, but you just kind of know in your spirit, like it just feels off. And sometimes you don't even know why, but it just feels off. And sometimes that's Holy Spirit just letting you know, like, hey, this isn't right. So just listen to that. As I said, like, we used to travel quite a bit in ministry. And traveling, you meet all kinds of people, some really interesting people. And I remember that we were in a church, and we had just done a church service. And at the end of the service, there was a lady, and she was very pushy and quite aggressive, I'm gonna say. And she was like, I have a word from the Lord for you. And I just, how I am, I'm always really cautious if somebody is very aggressive and pushy regarding certain things. And if somebody is very quick to claim certain biblical titles like prophet or apostle, I'm also a little bit cautious, because in my experience, people that genuinely hear from the Lord and operate in prophetic gifting, they're not usually super aggressive. Like, they're more gentle in how they do it, because they listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who is gentle. But they also aren't, like, super quick to claim certain biblical titles. So this lady was just super aggressive, and to the point that she literally, like, made me pull out my phone in front of her and, like, record this, because she's like, this is a word from the Lord. And so I really didn't want to, but again, she kind of forced me. So I pulled out my phone. And as soon as she started speaking, I knew it was like, this isn't from God. Like, just the entire word, it wasn't in line with scripture, but also just, like, in line with my character and, like, who I am as a person. Like, it was totally just off base, and I knew instantly. And so as soon as she, like, finished and kind of turned around, I just, like, deleted the word from my phone, because I was like, I don't want this on my phone. And I just got rid of it. But then later on, debriefing with the rest of our team, I found out that she ended up doing the same thing. So she basically cornered each one of our team members individually and gave them, like, almost the exact same word. So it was like, okay, this really was not by the Holy Spirit. This wasn't of God. This was, like, something else. So again, if it really is from God, God will confirm what he's speaking through scripture, sometimes through other people, but again, he'll never cause us to sin or go against his word, okay? So God speaks to us in different ways, because we're all different, but how do we actually, like, hear the voice of God? Well, the first is by spending time in his presence. John 10 verse 27 says, this is Jesus speaking, it says, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, truthfully, the only way to intimately and, like, actually instantly recognize somebody's voice is to know them and spend time with them, right? Like, this is true whether it's in the context of a friendship or a romantic relationship, like, whatever the context is, this is true. Again, I traveled quite a bit, and I had a specific group of friends that I would frequently travel with more than others, and like we even went overseas to do missions and everything. And so I knew these people like really, really well. And I kid you not, we would go places, and it didn't matter if my back was to the door of the room. It didn't matter if we were in a room like this size or bigger or smaller. It didn't matter how many people were in the room or who was in the room. I could be like super deep in conversation with somebody. And the moment that those people walked into the room, I instantly knew because I could hear their voice and I recognized it. Now, again, I was only able to recognize their voice because I had spent so much time with these people in classes, doing music and traveling with them and just doing life with them. And you know, it's the same when it comes to our relationship with God and actually being able to hear him. Like, we can't actually truly expect to hear the voice of God when we aren't intentionally spending time with him, intentionally taking the time to know him and actually be in his presence. Just like any relationship in the natural, we need to be intentional in spending time with God in order to know him and, yes, recognize his voice. Now, just as God speaks to each person differently, people also experience the presence of God differently. For some people, I had friends in college, in Bible college, that they felt the presence of the Lord more strongly when they were like out in the bush or like out in nature, seeing God's creation and everything that he made. And for them, like they would even just like go for walks around like the city. I'm from Edmonton originally, but like around the city or wherever, like in a park or something like that, where they could, you know, feel the presence of the Lord and they'd be able to pray and talk to God. And for other people, this is like for me, for example, I feel the presence most strongly when there's music, when there's worship music. And so I like to play worship music. And for me, it's really easy to, you know, sometimes hear from the Lord. For other people, it's actually when they just sit and they read their Bible and they have no distractions and they're able to just like pray and focus on the Word of God. And then they feel the presence of the Lord most strongly. And for other people, maybe it's like when they do art and then they'll just play, again, some worship music or something and they feel the presence of the Lord. They're able to talk to God. So my encouragement for you is just find what works best for you. However you feel the presence of God the strongest, do that. Get into his presence. Now, in addition to that, I do want to say, regardless of how we feel the presence of God, you may have noticed that all throughout those, I mentioned a couple things. I mentioned talking to God, spending time in prayer, and I mentioned reading the Word of God. See, as believers, regardless of how we feel the presence of God, it's really important that we actually read our Bibles and take the time to pray. Truthfully, it's really hard to know if God is speaking and even to be able to confirm if what we're hearing or feeling is in line with his word if we don't know the word of God. And so that's where it's important to be reading our Bible. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your words are a flashlight to the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling." See, through reading our scriptures and actually getting the word of God into us, God can actually teach us. He can confirm things. He can even correct us when we need it. And maybe you're somebody that you're like, okay, that's great reading my Bible, but like I hate reading. I got you. It's okay. There is an app that you can get, and it's the, I used to call it the Brown Bible app. And it's phenomenal. Like, they have all sorts of different translations on there. They even have, like, Bible reading plans that explain, you know, certain things in Scripture as well. But they have a function on there that is really great. So if you hate reading and you're like, oh, like, I don't like it, they have a function on this app that you can actually have scripture read to you. So all you have to do is just like press play and there will be a voice that will read it out to you. But yes, so I recommend that. Okay, the other thing I mentioned was prayer. So prayer is something that honestly, I think we can sometimes overcomplicate as Christians, right? Especially when we, you know, first get saved, we first make the decision to follow Jesus, we think like, oh, I have to use all the big words and I have to pray a certain way and I have to be really smart and all of this stuff. And no, you don't. Prayer is honestly just having a conversation with God. And a conversation means that you talk, yes, but then you allow the space to let God speak. Prayer is something that you can do anywhere, in the shower, in the car, as you're getting your kids ready for school, whatever it is, you can pray anytime, anywhere, and there's no really set way to do it. So the more we do this, the more we spend time in God's presence, the more we read his word and pray, the easier it actually becomes to start to recognize and to know when God is speaking. So we hear God's voice by spending time in his presence. The second way that we hear God's voice is by walking in obedience. John 10, verse 27, I'm going to read it again. Jesus is talking and he says, "My sheep recognize my voice and I know them and they follow me." They follow me. See, as believers, it's important that we walk in obedience to the Lord. James 1 verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." See, church, the more we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the more we walk in obedience to him, the easier it actually becomes to recognize his voice when he speaks or when he leads us. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Obedience isn't always easy. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And sometimes there's actually a cost. But can I also say, God is still good. God is still faithful. And what he asks us to do is always worth the cost, even when we don't see it in the moment. The reality is you never actually know what's on the other side of your obedience. And you never know how God can actually use that. So when we walk in obedience, it becomes easier to hear God's voice. I was actually in a season a few years ago, and it was wild. Like, I was hearing the voice of God, like, super clearly, to the point that, like, you know, sometimes the Lord would actually tell me, like, okay, today I want you to go to this store, and, you know, once you get to this store, like, go down this aisle and, you know, do all of this stuff. And I was just like, it was wild. Like, it was crazy. I had never experienced the voice of God like that before in my entire life. And honestly, sometimes I didn't feel like going. You know, sometimes it was after church on a Sunday and I was really tired. And I'm like, God would say, okay, go to Walmart today. And I'm like, I just want to take a nap because I'm really tired, Lord. Like, I don't want to go. And God would say, go. So then, you know, I would go. And then God would say, okay, now go to this aisle or go to this place. And it was wild because whenever I obeyed God, I would end up having the craziest, like, God encounters with people. Like, I would end up running into people that I hadn't seen in a while or had a chance to talk to in a while, and I'd be able to catch up with them. Or, you know, I would run into, like, even people that weren't Christians, and that I'm like, God, like, you know, I haven't seen them in a while. Like, I don't know how they're doing, but they've been on my mind this week, and I've been praying for them. And I'd be able to, you know, run into them and be able to talk with them, and sometimes I'd be able to pray for people and know how they were doing. And so every time I went, like, it was amazing, and it was always worth it. And it became easier to hear when God spoke. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't always get it right, and I still don't always get it right. But it did become easier to know and to recognize when God spoke. When we walk in disobedience, though, I do want to say the opposite does happen. As much as I would like to say, oh, yes, I always obeyed the Lord, there were moments where, you know what, the Lord would say, okay, go to Dollarama or go to this place. And I'm like, Lord, like, I don't really need something from there. And I'm like, really tired. I don't really want to go. And God would say, go. And I'd be like, I'm just going to stay home and take that nap. Or I'm just going to stay home and rest. And because I had walked in disobedience, it's a little thing. But because I had walked in disobedience, then the next time when I needed to hear the Lord on something, it was so much harder to actually hear his voice. And so I just want to say, like, maybe you're somebody that God has actually spoken something or asked you to do something, but you just, like, didn't do it. That's okay. Just pray, ask God for forgiveness, and then just go back and do what he said. Because sometimes God doesn't actually give us more direction or more steps to take until we do the last thing that he said. Because he's waiting for us to do that, right? So if that's you, again, just go back and pray and ask for forgiveness. So we hear the voice of God through spending time with him, spending time in his presence, and walking into obedience with him. Now, truthfully and honestly, it's really hard to hear God's voice when we don't actually know him or have a relationship with him. See, as I said, knowing somebody, truly actually knowing them, comes from having a real relationship with them. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about enacting his promise." Slow is how some people want to characterize it. "No, he's not slow, but patient and merciful to you, not wanting anyone to be destroyed, but wanting everyone to turn away from following his own path and turn towards God." See, as I said, like, God is not some angry or abusive or aggressive God. No, he's gentle, he's loving, he's that good shepherd. He cares for each and every single one of us. And God being caring and loving, he desires relationship with each and every single one of us, but there's a problem, and that problem is sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," meaning what? Meaning that no matter what we actually do or how hard we try, we can never be good enough. See, culture will sell you the lie and tell you, like, oh, if you're just a good person, like, that'll be enough. That'll get you into heaven. But the reality is, being a good person, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. But it doesn't get you into heaven, and it doesn't give you a relationship with God. The reality is that we're all sinful. We're all broken to some degree or another, and God is perfect and he's holy. See, the truth is that sin can't actually stand in the presence of a good and holy God. Yet God, in his great love and his great mercy, being the good shepherd, he sent his son, Jesus, who was perfect and sinless, to die on a cross. Criminal's death. To take our place and take away our sins so that we could come back into relationship with the living God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 10:10, this is actually Jesus speaking, and he says, "I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly." See, Jesus died for you and I, not just so that we could come back into relationship with God, but he also came so that we could live a life of purpose, of calling, of hope, of joy. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's it. That's all it takes. And so if you want that today, we're just going to pray a prayer just to express what we're feeling in our hearts. Just going to use our mouth to say it. So if we could all just bow our heads, close our eyes, and repeat after me. "Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I ask you now to forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Lead me. In Jesus' name, amen."